Our meditation today is from Psalm 146. It is not noted who wrote it. We do know that behind whoever it was the Holy Spirit who had the psalmist write, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord." We now come into a section, actually the last section of the book of Psalms. 146, 7, 8, 9, and 150. And we have a new round of hallels here. Remember, the word hallel in Hebrew means praise. And you will remember that his name is Jehovah or Yah. And so when we read here, "Praise the Lord," it is hallelujah. Anytime we say hallelujah, we are using directly Jehovah's name that should always be used in reverence, joyful reverence. To use it ironically, to use it thoughtlessly, to use it as some sort of equivalent to yay, well, hallelujah, or something like that, is to smash the third commandment. It is using God's holy name in a way that is light. And so let's be very careful how we say hallelujah, because it always means praise the Lord, and when you say it, you should mean that from all the heart. Well, that's something we could mention for all these psalms that start with hallelujah and that end with hallelujah. Well, this psalm is one that celebrates knowing Jehovah, celebrates his wonderful, holy, and unchanging character, and celebrates his great and kind deeds to the children of men. The psalmist here is moved by the Holy Spirit to give praise to God, and he's talking to himself here, you see, at the very start. Hallelujah, hallelujah, O my soul. It's repeated there. While I live, I will praise the Lord. Or in other words, while I live, I will hallelujah. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Well, for the redeemed person, that means forever and ever, for we forever and ever have our being. The death of our bodies does not end that. In fact, the death of our bodies is not the end of our bodies. Because even as Jesus is resurrected from the dead, so shall be all his people. And so we start out with praise of this great and glorious God. And then we see that, well, there are others we could trust in, particularly in powerful figures in this world. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day his plans perish. Who would that apply to? Well, don't put your trust ultimately, say, in David or in Solomon or in Ahab if you are one who delights to worship in Baal. Do not trust in a President Obama or a President Trump. Their days shall end. And however much we may like or dislike their policies, they shall all come to an end, even as these men shall. Every other president either has gone to the grave or shall yet. And policies change, don't they? We have square deals. We have fair deals. We have new deals. And, you know, things change. Things change. Where are they all? Oh, they're all gone. Only Zion's King abides forever. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, look to Him. Look to Him. The King whom God has set upon His holy hill, who is Himself Jehovah in the flesh. Happy is he, says the psalmist, who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Jehovah, his God. And now, let's see what he has done. In contrast to, say, kings, presidents, dictators, leaders. He has made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. That applies, we think of, to God in his oneness. But that particularly applies, we can show, to Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's the first three verses, maybe four, I'm not sure, of John chapter 1. Jesus, as Jehovah, made all things. He keeps truth forever. Yes? He says it himself in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Who executes justice for the oppressed, even now is the mediatorial king, set upon Zion's hill, as we sing about sometimes in Psalm 2, as we see explained by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1 from about verse 20 on to the end of the chapter and in many other places. King Jesus rules. He gives food to the hungry. We have looked a number of times at, say, his feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000 and the fact that in John chapter 10, He tells everyone that He is, and He continues to show this as well, the bread of life. He gives freedom to the prisoners. What have we been seeing in Matthew chapter 9, for example? A man imprisoned, we might say, in his own body by paralysis. Blind men imprisoned in the dark, given eyes to see. One kept captive by a demon that would not let him speak. He has freed up further those who, well, were imprisoned by their sin, imprisoned by an illness that kept any social contact, imprisoned by the cords of death in the case of Jairus' daughter, and he brought them all out to freedom. It's just in one chapter of one of the four Gospels. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. There, I got ahead of myself, didn't I? We just saw this. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. Yes, we've just seen this. The Lord watches over the strangers. Now, we might think, now, we didn't see that in chapter 9, but as I maybe will be mentioning in the sermon, in chapter 8 we do, as we see the centurion with the servant who is sick, who won't even go to Jesus, but he sends an emissary, and with great faith says, you don't have to come. I know how it works. I am a non-com over a number of soldiers. When I tell them to do something, they do it. When I tell them to go somewhere, they go. I know you can do this too with my servant's illness. And Jesus marveled at this pagan, at this Roman, at this Gentile who maybe wasn't pagan anymore, who had faith that he so far had not even seen in Israel. And so Jesus is the one who watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow, and we have seen this. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. Why, think. We haven't looked in Matthew's gospel, but we've seen this in Mark's. We've seen it in John's. Eventually, someday, we may in Luke's as well. That the greatest plot for the greatest injustice in all the world, where Satan himself thought, I've gotten the victory. I have killed the Lord of life. No, not at all. Everything got turned upside down. And what Satan thought was his greatest victory ended up his crowning, crushing defeat. Jehovah shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Yes. As Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and mediatorially in the person of Jesus Christ, he rules all things at all times and all to his glory. It's no wonder that the psalmist starts out saying, Hallelujah. It's no wonder he finishes it and all the way through it keeps on saying, Hallelujah. Well, we are going to sing the last portion of this. And we have the chance to sing, I can't remember if it's only in English or it may be in Hebrew, I don't know. But we'll get a chance to sing either Hallelujah or the equivalent of it. Psalm 146. Oh, excuse me. I'm getting ahead of myself in a way. We're going to sing all of Psalm 146a. So let's do that, and we'll get all of Psalm 146 in here. May the praise of God well up in your heart as you sing it. Psalm 146a.